so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Shatner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your heart, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. This is Mindy, and you're listening to The Judy Garland Show. Next in our series is Judy's appearance on yet another Command performance. This one aired August 19th, 1944, and co-stars Helen Forrest and Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye, Danny Kaye. It's so interesting that he pops up here because I was reading that 1944 was kind of his banner year where he made his feature film debut in Up in Arms. He's starting to become a household name. Judy references that he's kind of new and exciting and people are already liking him. He would go on to have his own radio show from 1945 to 1946. And in that 1 year that he was on the air, he ranked number five in popularity in radio programs, according to the polls. But he left that show to tour with the USO after World War II. I think he is most remembered now as being in White Christmas with Bing Crosby. And that's a role that was originally designed for Fred Astaire. And then it went to Donald O'Connor, but then eventually became Danny Kaye's role. It's a great movie. I'm sure many of you have seen it. And then on the music side of his career, he claimed he couldn't read music, but people that worked with him said that he had perfect pitch, and he went on to have, you know, a very successful collaboration with the Andrew Sisters in the, I think it was the late 40s, early 50s. He was also part owner of the Seattle Mariners. I did not know this. I guess he had an encyclopedic knowledge of baseball. So this feels similar to Bing Crosby here, where he's got a lot of interest and a lot of different things that he does and is actually really good at. But anything you read about Danny Kaye, it always mentions his humanitarian efforts. He was the first ambassador at large for UNICEF. He was knighted by the Queen of Denmark for his humanitarian efforts through the years. He was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, given to him by Ronald Reagan and accepted by his daughter on his behalf. And he was a member of the French Legion of Honor. And there's lots of other things, but those were the biggest ones that popped up. So a very talented man, devoted to a lot of great causes and used his fame for good. So a nice reminder to read about Danny Kaye. Very excited that he showed up in this. And this episode is actually a great mix of musical styles and different people. And I think it's a fun one that you'll enjoy. But then on to Judy. 1944 was also a big year for her. And actually in this month, August 1944, Judy was finally granted her request to do a non-singing, more dramatic role. MGM, realizing that she was starting to have kind of her emotional problems and her, some would say, temper tantrums or difficulties, they decided to keep her happy. She was a big enough star. If this movie completely flopped, it wouldn't really hurt her. So they went ahead and just threw some money at it, and it wasn't going very well. So she called up Vincent Minnelli, who had directed her in Meet Me in St. Louis, and asked him to come and look at the film and see if he could do something with it. And so we did, and asked that, you know, he had a few ideas. He saw some things that needed to be completely changed, and he reshot everything with the understanding that this was now his vision and his movie, and he was granted that based on his record. He made the city of New York the third character in the romance between Judy Garland's character and Robert Walker. And the clock is set around, I think it's like a 24-hour period. And you see this serviceman and his luck running into Judy Garland's character. And they build this romance in the course of a day. The vision of Vincent Minnelli is so, I think, classic. And he turns films that could be very generic and very mundane into something really special and subtle and beautiful. And The Clock was one of those movies that even if it wasn't Judy Garland, I would have still had that same reaction of this is a unique movie. It, especially for that era, it wasn't hammy, it wasn't cute, it wasn't anything but sincere and slightly poetic. A really great testament to a director's vision with the right material, and he was really such a great influence in movies, aside from his relationship with Judy. And we'll get into that a little bit, I think, in some of the following shows, because he'll keep popping up in this era. But he's a beautiful director. His vision was exquisite. And it shows in The Clock. Definitely check that out. It's not one that people immediately think of, I think. But, you know, it really is a special movie. But for right now, no drama. Lots of singing. The Judy that we all come to expect on old-time radio. And this time with a great variety of people and music styles and the legendary and still quite popular Danny Kaye from August 1944. This is Command Performance.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over there. Okay there, gang, it's time to nestle your frames neath the sound catcher and spend a half hour with your favorite people as per your requests to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And here tonight at your command is one of your extra special glamour girls, a young lady we would refer to as our gal Sal, except for the fact that her name is Judy Garland.
When I play roulette, when I place a bet, I have been a loser all my life. Like a two-year-old, I pick 'em back, I'm told. Still, I think in me you'd find a perfect wife. I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? All of your shirts are unsightly, all of your ties are a crime. If dear in you I've picked rightly, it's the very first time. I think you're wonderful, I think you're swell, but I may be wrong. All of your shirts are unsightly, all of your ties are a crime. If dear in you I pick rightly, it's the very first time you came along. I think you're swell, but I may be so wrong.
Not so many moons ago, a happy thunderbolt hit the picture business in the form of a bright new comedy star. His first picture was Up in Arms. And in show business talk, it was Sensationally Socko. A lot of you guys have probably seen it and probably, too, have heard a mail call that he knocked out your way, because we have a neat stack of letters requesting Danny Kaye.
Hello, everybody, and gee, Judy, it sure is wonderful being here on Command Performance. And it was so sweet of you to drive me to the studio.
Well, Danny, I thought that was the least I could do, just to drop by your house and pick you up. I hope your mother didn't think I was too forward doing that.
No, she'll understand. Just so long as you'll get me home by 10:30 and my hair isn't mussed up. You will control yourself, won't you, Judy?
I'll try.
And this time, Judy, please, when we go home, let's not drive through the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, but it's beautiful up there, looking down on the lights of the city.
That's all you girls ever think of, lights.
Well, Danny, you don't have to be afraid of me.
No?
No. For goodness sake, on the way home, please ride inside the car, not out and back on the spare tire.
Well, I get panicky when I drive with girls. I remember when I first arrived here in town, I went riding with a girl.
What happened?
I walked back from Santa Monica.
Oh, well, Danny, it's only because you're so shy and retiring that all the girls want to put their arms around you and mother you.
You know, I've been getting away with this pretty good so far.
One thing I'm sure of, Danny, you're not the least bit bashful when you sing, so how about doing one of your famous numbers?
Okay, Judy. May I have some soft Russian music, maestro, please? Very pretty. I should like to delve into the Slavic mood to do a song that my father wrote for me when he was 9 weeks old. He used to take me on his knee and say, Kolya, my little gypsy, it's time for you to become a man. Time for you to go out in the world and learn the facts of life. So I packed my little Karzinka and I left. I wandered over hills and dales, small villages and pretty cities. And then I met my first woman. She was gorgeous, sensationally beautiful. When she walked, was like a little gazelle strolling in the pasture. And when she spoke, her voice was like the voice of angels. Soft and mellow! She used to croon this plaintive gypsy melody. Dina, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is and you know her, show her to me, oh, Dina. With her Dixie eyes blazing, how I love to sit and gaze in to the ease of Dina Lee. I know that every night, oh, why do I shake with pride? Because my Dina might change her mind about me. Hey, cock the business, Erza Dina. If she wanted to, Gina, I would hop an ocean, Lena, just to be with her. Thank you, Judy.
And do you know there was a famous singer listening very closely to your number?
There was who?
The great star of the Metropolitan Opera, Lauritz Melchior.
Well.
Hello, fellas. Danny, I listened to your song and it was wonderful.
Oh, gee.
That's the kind of singing I want to do.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm through with opera.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mr. Melchior. You're not serious about quitting the opera.
Sure. I like it here in Hollywood, where the girls take you up in the hills. Oh.
But, Larry, you're right at the zenith of your career. Why do you want to quit opera?
Have you ever seen those leading ladies?
Boy!
Most of them have figures like mine. I want some... one like Hedy Lala, Hedy La...
Hedy Lamarr?
How do you spell it?
H-E-D-Y-L-A-M-A-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-
Well, Mr. Melchior, it's true that a lot of women in the opera are rather buxom, but take Lily Pons. She's certainly on the petite side.
Judy, there's always one little slim carrot in every pot of beef stew. Take my word for it, Judy. Most leading ladies in opera have beautiful voices, but you can paint beacons, van, and storage on their chassis.
I guess the leading ladies in opera are a problem at that, Larry.
Yes, they are. Let us get back to Hedy LaMama.
Get a load of this Wagnerian wolf.
I really fixed
that. Mr. Melchior, before you throw away your evanescent tights to don a beret and sport jacket, won't you give us something that's right up the old Metropolitan Alley?
Oh, glad to, Julie. How about Vesti la Giuba from Pagliacci?
Wonderful. Sure, that was wonderful.
Very beautiful, Larry. I love Pagliacci. It's so strong and stirring.
Oh, yes, it's a great piece of music. But you know, my favorite music is the folk song of all countries.
Well, that goes for me too, Larry, especially the native music of Russia. Whenever I hear that music, it makes me to blow my top with pleasure.
Well, Danny, do you think the Russians are familiar with typical American music?
I really don't know. I suppose, though, they know our popular tunes like No Love, No Something.
That's No Love, No Nothing.
In Russia, there is always something. He's right, Judy.
Look, seriously, fellas, this gives me an idea. Mr. Melchior, why don't you sing Home on the Range in English, and Danny, you translate it into Russian.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, I'll try it. I don't know what's going to happen.
Где играют олени газель, где редко тебе скажут слово в упрек, и безоблачно небо везде. Дом, дом на степи,
where the deer and the antelope
men here on Command Performance, we try not to take up too much of your time reading the really swell mail you send to us. We just try to answer your requests as quickly as we can and let it go at that. And speaking of requests, our vice president in charge of wetting the thumb and tabulating the results of the V-mail, postcards, and hammer mill bond in general, decided to pick the most requested girl of this particular week. And she's here with us now, Miss Helen Forrest.
Thanks, Judy. And hi there, fellas. I want to send Command Performance's regards to Ray Needham at 948, F.J. Greffer at Navy 1018, the Foggy Foggies at Hut 41, including Memphis, Shanty, Stinky, Granny, Cue Ball, Walkie Talkie, Plywood, Sack Time and Gopher Jim, and Serge Grunberg, APO4, the Bully Buff Kids in New Guinea, some 729ers, Webfoot Twins, Rum Nose, Woman Hater Amos, Toothless, Wheelchair, Galloping Domino, and Bookworm, Salami Petito at 3-0, Lance Corporal Hausen and 14 of His Majesty's Marines, and that 980 gang, Merle T., Peter Nose, Dozer Kelly, Old Man Dew, Casanova Rios, Pot Pusher Cal, and Short Drawers. And here's my song. I'm not much to look at, nothing to see, just let them live it, and lucky to be. I got a man crazy for me. He's funny that way. I can't save a dollar, ain't worth a cent. He doesn't holler, he lives in a tent. I got a man crazy
easy for me. He's funny that way. Though he'd love to work and slave for me every day, he'd be so much better off if I went away. But why should I leave him? Why should I go? He'd be unhappy without me, I know. I got a man crazy for me. Funny that way. Though he loved to work and slave for me every day, he'd be so much better off if I. But why should I leave him? Why should I go? He'd be unhappy without me, I know. I got a man crazy for me.
Forrest, that was really wonderful.
And now, gentlemen of the AEF, in honor of the appearance on Command Performance of Mr. Lawrence Melchior, Judy Garland and Danny Kaye have written an original opera. This combination opera and clambake is called Modern Travel, or You Punched My Ticket Last Night, and I Got That Old Feeling. Quite tragic, isn't it, Danny?
Oh, yes, Ken. It's the story of a boy and girl who get married in Minneapolis and want to spend their honeymoon in St. Paul. However, like nearly everybody else today, they can't get reservations on a train, so these honeymooners have been sitting in the waiting room at the Minneapolis railroad station for days, but in vain.
Oh, I see. They're wasting their passion in the Union Station, eh?
Yes, it's very tragic, Ken. And as the scene opens, the boy and girl, sung by Judy and me, have just gotten up from the bench to go and plead again with the ticket man, played by Lauritz Melchior.
On with the opera. Curtain, ouverture!
Won't you please give us 2 tickets? From Minneapolis to St. Paul.
We would like them soon because our honeymoon is being wasted in the Union Station.
Just 2 little tickets from Minneapolis to St. Paul. From Minneapolis to St. Paul is positively all.
The chance. One lower berth. No, no!
One upper berth.
No, no! We'll sleep on the floor. No, no! No! Sorry. I can help you if you want to get to St. Paul this season. You'll have to get a priority and a marriage. Ain't that good reason?
Yes,
Unblessed events that pass out cigars.
We will name our children after Pullman cars.
Oh, Pullman cars, oh, Pullman cars. They name their kids after Pullman cars.
Pullman cars pass out cigars. We'll name our kids after Pullman cars.
The adjutant has two tickets on the Cannonball Express.
The Cannonball? Cannonball is running great, trying to make connections with the Nickel Plate. The Nickel Plate's running fine, trying to make connections with the Old Soo Line. And the Old Soo Line keeps to the rail, trying to make connections with the Royal Mail. And the Royal Mail trying to see the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. And then the Santa Fe, nothing slow, trying to keep up with the B&O. The B&O runs like a fountain, trying to make connections with Iron Mountain. Then Iron Mountain is really terrific, trying to keep up with the Southern Pacific. The old S.P. running like well, trying to make connections with the M and St. L. The M and St. L, I must confess, is trying to keep up with the Hartford Express. The Hartford Express is going insane, trying to make connections with the Boston and Maine. And then the Boston and Maine beats them all, trying to make connections with the Cannonball. The Cannonball's running fine, trying to make connections with that old
cancellation. The adjutant just canceled his tickets on the Cannonball.
Oh, darling, at last we're getting on a train.
Yes, darling, at last we're getting on a train.
Just 1 minute, young man. What? A word of warning. Passenger will please refrain from running water while the train is standing in the station. I love you.
Us. Oh, darling, we're off to St. Paul.
Sorry, the adjutant wants his tickets back.
We've got to get on that train.
Right there hanging on a strap, on a strap.
We'll ride upon some lady's lap.
Lady's lap.
We'll ride a coal car or caboose. We'll even hitch a ride upon an eastbound goose.
A goose, 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 a goose. A goose, a goose, a goose.
Oh, and the honeymoon upon an eastbound goose. A goose.
An eastbound goose.
A goose.
An eastbound goose.
A goose.
An eastbound goose.
Melchior, Helen Forrest, Danny Kaye, and yours truly. So, till the next time that Command Performance is scheduled to pull in at your station, this is Judy Garland saying it's been good, clean fun, and I hope you're glad you came. Good night.
¶¶ Forces Radio Service.